Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Today we're going to be taking up part three, but in just a minute we'll take it up. In the meantime, I want to refresh you and bring you up to date just a little bit about what's going on here in Africa. We are planting everything we can plant out there at the Shamba. We have vegetables planted, we have maize, we have beans, we have groundnuts, we have soybeans, and so this is the rainy season, the beginning of it, so we're planting, and we planted about 500 sukuma plants, that is kale plants, this week. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have provided for all of that. And we have a good church started there at the Living Water Church. We have about 85 members in the church. We now have 25 children in the children's home. And as I spoke during the prayer, we're starting to look down the road to this summer and schedule crusades. We want to go back to Tanzania as that country is wide open. The corona restrictions in other countries have not been embraced there in Tanzania, and so we want to go back there in this summer, probably in July or August, and do another crusade, very likely in Dar es Salaam, the capital city. And so we're looking forward to that. We thank you for your partnership, thank you for your provision and your prayers, and you can listen in at the end of this broadcast for contact information if you would like to support this ministry. Well, today we're going to be talking about part three of two baptisms, and today we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And if you were with us the first two sessions of this series, you know we were talking about the water baptism and how John the Baptist initiated the water baptism out in the Jordan River east of Jerusalem, and many were coming to him, many were coming, and they were curious, some were curious, some were truly understood what he was doing, and he was baptizing people for the remission of sins. And he said to the people that came to him, especially the religious elite, the Pharisees, bring forth fruits according to repentance. And so John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was making the way straight for Jesus, who came afterwards. And in chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist talks about Jesus, and he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. John says, my baptism is for repentance, or the washing away or the remission of sin. But John says there's one coming after me. And John in other scriptures, in later scriptures, said, I must decrease, he must increase. And so John understood his role. There was one time when John questioned who Jesus was, but that was in Matthew chapter 11. But John, for the most part, understood his role. He knew early on that he was going to be the forerunner, because he was a fulfillment of prophecy that he would be the forerunner for the Messiah. And so that scripture, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, that scripture appears in all four of the Gospels. And in fact, in Acts 1:8, prior to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, in Acts 1:8, when Jesus was meeting with the disciples for the first time after the resurrection, Jesus said the very same words that John had said. He said in verse 5 in Acts chapter 1, "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then he said in verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And so Jesus is saying essentially the very same words that John the Baptist spoke. He said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, it turned out it was 10 days after that. And then he said, "You will receive power." And so the second baptism is spoken of all through the Bible, and it is just as critical as the first baptism. Although it's not a baptism for salvation, it's a baptism for the immersion into the walk with the Holy Spirit. It's a baptism of immersion, and you are immersed in your walk with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to abide in you, and you are given power that you didn't have before. You're given power to preach, to be witnesses, to prophesy, and to lay hands on the sick, and all of these things that come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is an essential baptism. If you don't have it, beloved, I'm going to explain to you as we get into it, I'm going to explain to you why you need it, why you should desire it, why you should want it. And as you understand that or come to a greater understanding of that, you will have a desire and a hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you have never had before. Well, John was speaking of this. And as I said before, this was a fulfillment of prophecy. And there were many prophecies as we think about the major spiritual truths of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. They were all prophesied in the Old Testament. And that is true with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so where can we look to find out the prophecies about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? If you have your Bible, turn it to Joel, J-O-E-L. Chapter 2, verse 28, Joel 2, 28. And this is the notable prophecy, prophetic word spoken through the prophet Joel about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And of course, this prophecy was given 700 years or so, I'm not sure the exact date, 700 years or so before Jesus walked this earth, before this prophecy came to pass. And so I'm sure many people throughout that 700 years probably wondered, what is this all about? What does it mean? How's it going to apply to me? Well, many people died before they saw the realization and the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so Joel says in verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit." Well, afterward, what does it mean? I believe that means after Jesus has gone to the cross, after he has been resurrected, after he has given final instruction to the disciples. In other words, all the work of Jesus has been done on this earth, and then he was taken up into heaven, into the clouds, and went into heaven. So it says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards," after all of the work of Jesus on this earth is done, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so Joel says this is going to come on people all over the earth. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, every single person. This is going to be made available to every single person, whether old, young, whether rich, poor, whether in a far-off country, a near country, whether in a Pentecostal church or a Baptist church or a whatever kind of a church. He said, "My spirit is going to be there to be poured out, and it's going to be for those who desire it." And he says, this is going to be a significant thing to the extent that it's going to cause people's behavior to change. They will start to prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. The Lord says, I'm going to give specific prophetic dreams and revelatory dreams to people who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And your young men shall see visions, that is, open visions. They're going to be opened up so that they can see into the spirit world behind the veil. They might see angels, they might see demons, they might see things that God wants to show them, even revelations of heaven, revelations of hell. All of these things will be given to those who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 29, Joel says, "And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." In other words, Joel says it's not going according to your status, according to your social status. It doesn't matter if you're a king or if you're a ditch digger, a farmer, a teacher, whatever you are. If you desire it, the Lord says it will be poured out upon you. You will have the opportunity to receive. And in verse 30 then, Joel says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Well, we're not there just yet at the of the great and awesome day of the Lord or the return of the Lord. We're not there just yet, although it could happen at any time. And it shall come to pass, verse 32, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls. And so those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Those who cry out to the Lord, they shall be saved. Those who know Jesus and have been given revelation through blood moons, through prophetic word, through dreams, through visions, the Lord can speak in many ways to people. And even the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the birds and the trees, and just God's magnificence is revealed to people through his creation. The creation speaks of God and speaks of the eternal God. And so we know from that then that the Holy Spirit was poured out to all mankind in the book of Acts, in second chapter of Acts, and that came on the day of Pentecost, which we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. And so the prophetic word was fulfilled, just as all prophetic words have either been fulfilled or will be fulfilled. And a prophetic word spoken 700 years before Jesus was on this earth came to be fulfilled in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Well, Jesus had instructed his own very own disciples as he was teaching them and walking with them. He instructed them on different aspects of the Holy Spirit, and he told them what was coming. And the Holy Spirit, he said in verse 18 of John chapter 14, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live and you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself in him." Well, he was talking about manifesting himself in his disciples through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So he goes on then to say in John 15, as he is talking to the disciples, he says in verse 26, "When the Helper comes," he's calling the Holy Spirit the Helper, "when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And so Jesus says, I'm receiving the Spirit of truth from the Father, and then I'm baptizing you with the Spirit of truth. I'm giving the Spirit of truth to you, and he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is always in perfect unity, perfect unison, perfect agreement with the Father and with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit never speaks anything that is counter to God's word or counter to the nature of God or counter to the truth of God or Jesus Christ. And so when the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you, or the Holy Spirit reveals the Father to you, you can be assured that he is revealing the truth to you that was given to him by the Father and by Jesus Christ. And so then in verse 27 of John 15, Jesus says, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And so the disciples will bear witness to Jesus Christ, and their witness will agree also and be in unity and unison with the Holy Spirit. And so there is perfect unity between those who are walking in the natural and the supernatural, the spiritual witness and testifying of Jesus Christ. Well, in John 16, I urge you to read this chapter. It's the most comprehensive teaching that Jesus has on the Holy Spirit. And he says in John 16 in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus is telling these disciples, it's best that I go, because the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to come if I don't go. And this was all part of God's plan. It wasn't just some made up thing that was concocted on a spur of the moment. Jesus knew that when he went to the cross, that he was going to be crucified, that he would be resurrected on the third day, and that he would eventually go back to sit at the Father's right hand. But he tells the disciples, don't be concerned and don't think that you're going to be left as orphans. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit here for you. It is to your advantage that I go and that you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, how can it be to their advantage? How can it be to our advantage? Beloved, when you walk this earth, it doesn't matter where you go in the USA. It doesn't matter where you go in Mexico or on a tour to Europe or if you're over in Africa like I am. The Holy Spirit is going to be there with you. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have received the Holy Spirit, he will testify of God. He will testify of Jesus Christ. And he will be the truth to you and reveal the truth to you in every situation. You just have to learn to listen to him. You just have to learn to take counsel from him. You have to learn to ask the Holy Spirit questions and then listen. And when the Holy Spirit gives you the answer, then you know that answer is the truth. And so Jesus is prepping the disciples, and he says here in verse 8, "And when he," the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father." In other words, this is the right thing for me to do, and you see me no more. "Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Well, there's about three messages, three sermons in those two verses right there. But Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is left here on the earth to convict people of sin. And so when I speak to people and I'm speaking the Word of God, the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. People come to know the Lord Jesus. When I preach the Crusades, the Holy Spirit is there, and it is there to convict people of sin. It is there to encourage people to make a decision. The Holy Spirit is there to encourage people to commit their life to the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit convicts people. They don't have to know anything about the Bible. They don't have to know anything about the Christian faith. They don't have to know anything about how the Christian faith is set up, the denominations or Catholicism or Protestantism or evangelical Christianity. They don't have to know any of that stuff. They just have to know, as we saw back in Joel said, "And those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what they need to know, is that if they get convicted of their sin, they call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. Well, Jesus goes on to say here in verse 12 of John chapter 16, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." He's saying that you're not steeped enough. Your understanding is too shallow. I can't share all of the stuff with you. In fact, the disciples at this time didn't even want to believe that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, that he would be crucified, and all of that that he'd already told them. And so he says, "I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them." But then in verse 13, he says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." And so how does the Holy Spirit tell us things to come? The Holy Spirit can do that because he knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit hears from God, and then the Holy Spirit relates it to us. And so we know that the Holy Spirit then is giving us the truth because he's receiving the truth from God. And so he is able, because God is not bound by time. God does not mark linear time. God knows the beginning From the end, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring, and he knew what happened 1,000 years ago or back in the time of Moses. And so Jesus says he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And so this is the source of the prophetic word. This is the source of prophetic visions, prophetic dreams, because God knows what is coming in the future, not only in your life, but in every person's life and in the life of the nations or in the timeline of the nations. God knows all of that. He knows it from the beginning, and he has seen it from ages ago. He even knew you before you were formed in the womb. He spoke over you, your prophetic destiny, your calling, and all of these things, and come from the heart and the mind of God. And so he can relate to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can relate to us what God's plan for our life is. If you wonder, Lord, what is the plan for my life? If you, maybe you don't say Lord, maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. As I speak to you today, the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit will woo you and let you know how much God wants you and how much God loves you and wants you in his kingdom. And then in verse 14, Jesus said, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and declare it to you. And so Jesus is explaining to the disciples all about this Holy Spirit. I'm sure they didn't grasp it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit walking with you and abiding in you, you're not going to grasp it today either. But beloved, let me tell you, the reason that you need the Holy Spirit, the reason that you need it, is because it is from God. He is from God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God sent by God, released into you to abide with you and to walk with you, to counsel you, to advocate for you. And when you have the Holy Spirit, beloved, you will have peace, you will have counsel, you will have truth, you will be given prophetic dreams, prophetic visions, and you will be given a new language, the language of tongues. And so all of this comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you have that Holy Spirit, you will have peace beyond all understanding. You will start to have understanding of your gifting, of your calling, of your destiny, why God put you here on this earth, your unique purpose for being here on this earth. And when you understand that, beloved, you will walk in a new way, a new creation, dedicating your life to God. That doesn't mean you have to quit your job today or that day. It just means that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. Yeah, eventually you may want to be a preacher. Eventually you may want to be a pastor, a teacher, a missionary, whatever, an evangelist. But to have the Holy Spirit, and you can function in the life that you have now only with the Spirit of the living God with you and giving you counsel and giving you understanding and giving you guidance. Well, I'm going to speak more about this next week. We're going to have an Easter message. I'll take up the baptism of the fire, the other part of that prophetic word. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We'll take that up after our Easter message here in a couple of weeks. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, and we thank the Lord for all of you who have prayed for this ministry and donated and been a blessing to this ministry. And we invite you to partner with us. You can do that very simply. Listen to the contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast and sit down, write us out a check. You can also go to the internet and go to gathertheoutcast.com and make a donation with your credit card, or paypal.me/gathertheoutcast. Make a donation with your credit card on PayPal, and it's very simple then to partner with us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you support us as we go to the farthest nations of the earth, as we go to the end of the age, preaching the good news of the gospel to the people here in Africa and the people in America through this radio broadcast. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.